All right, before we get to the rest of today's episode, just a heads up, Pete Harrison and I got together and recorded the 1,000th episode of this show. I didn't even, plan for breaks. We just got the thing rolling, started recording, and saw where the conversation went. How this show is going to go, because we spoke for an hour and a half, is we are going to split this up into two parts. So part A is going to cover the first 45-ish minutes or so of the conversation, and part B is going to cover the rest, and that's going to air on the feed tomorrow in replacement of the interview that we are going to record tomorrow for Thursday, which will then run Friday. I promise it'll all make sense as the show show up in your feed, but enjoy this. This was an absolute blast to record. The accomplishment that this show has had is because of the hard work of both Pete and Harrison, and because of your guys' support. So we wanted to make number 1,000 special. We just made it a little too special. So enjoy this part B of this whole conversation tomorrow, and have a great rest of your day. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas and Harrison Fagan for this super special 1,000th episode edition of this podcast. Harrison, I'll start with you since you're doing me the favor of hopping on this show twice in a week. I would have thought that the gift you would give me is not wearing the fedora. I thought that, like, Of all the things you could have done here, is you just like not rocked it.
Anthony, the fact that you would disrespect the fedora after the results that it got this year, like we already went over this 2 days ago when I again came on this pod for free because you needed me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wear my fedora if I want to. And again, the Lakers have not lost a title in a season where I wore the fedora the entire season for every podcast. So like, I mean, the results are proven at this point. So I think I got to keep it rolling.
I see this as disrespect at this point, because before this came on, like the next step in, you know, Harrison's development is better negotiation tactics, because the deal that these two fucking guys came to for Harrison hopping on twice this week to record a podcast for free is for him to have the pleasure of editing Anthony and all of his mistake-ridden, right?
No, so Pete, you don't understand.
That's the deal you negotiated. Like, Pete, I'm sitting here going, how? Like,
no, Pete, you don't understand. He promised he's going to try really hard to not have that many typos this time and have it be coherent.
Yeah, that was just, well, bang-up job on that, Harrison. Good job advocating for yourself.
To be clear, I'm also doing work that, by the way, I haven't written in forever. Specifically because
this deal gets worse all the time.
That's really comforting, right?
Yeah,
that's
what I'm sitting here going, we're gonna have to renegotiate this, I think, after the show's over.
You already agreed, but the me writing for Silver Screen and Roll for free is not something that I take lightly either. So I would say Harrison comes out way ahead. He hits.
Wow, I'm sorry. You're going to have a really tough day between recording this one podcast and maybe writing an article at some point. I'm sorry that your schedule is so busy.
And he's telling you to take off the fedora. Just respect.
It's unbelievable.
That was my line. I wasn't going to go there before then, but
this is why I left, Pete. And you see what I had to deal with. For the first, 500 or so episodes or whatever that I did.
You got to have boundaries, like, with Anthony. You just got to have boundaries.
Yeah, no, you're right.
This it wasn't the health benefits.
No, like it was not. The health insurance, forget that. It was the constant disrespect of me. And you're like, oh, Harrison, smile more. Wear this. Oh, like, da, 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 da. Like, it's just.
You look prettier when you smile, Harrison.
Yeah. Making fun of my neck constantly. I don't have to put up with this. I'm better than this.
And you're going to do it twice for free.
Has already done it now twice for free.
Wow. I'm going to leave midway through.
Today's show, look, I have no idea where this thing is going to go. We are going to be a little self-absorbed, having gotten to this place where we have recorded 1,000 of these episodes. And I think that's only the count on Megaphone, our current RSS host. It might be even higher than that. It's probably even higher than that
Shocking that you would not keep track of that yourself. I'm amazed.
Well, it's because you know, we're talking about the different iterations of it before, right? When it was Lakers Lounge and Lakers Late Night, and before that it was the Team Tank, and I guess the very first version of this podcast was Tank Nation, which Harrison, did you go back and watch that? Did you go back and watch any of it?
I made it through about 2 minutes maybe before I just couldn't anymore. And like, it sounded like a Tankaholics Anonymous meeting where we all were introducing ourselves and how we got into the tank. And yeah, no, I couldn't watch that. It was me, Anthony, and Matt Vazine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who is now a lawyer, as Harrison and I are still trying to scratch and claw for every cent that we can possibly get in this industry. Matt went about this a lot smarter than we did, is what we're learning.
I'd say so.
Pete, I'm kind of curious because, so you came on this show, right as Laker Film Room was kind of taking off too. And I was kind of curious, like at that time, were you consuming much Lakers coverage at that point? Or was it pretty much just like the reason you were building that was because you were so frustrated with the stuff that Harrison said on the show?
Man, you know me. I'm in my own little world and on my own planet most of the time. I'm not reading stuff. I'm not listening to stuff. I'm just watching, you know.
Pete, I don't listen to podcasts. Consuming the fake news media. No.
I'm like, whatever about podcasts. I'll listen to one every once in a while. You know, it's kind of the great irony of my life.
Well, I mean, I can't even knock you for it because that's exactly how I feel about it. Like, people are out there really angry at the way that Bill Simmons is covering this Lakers thing. It's like, hey, you know what's an you know what's an option here, right? Mm-hmm. It's just not listening.
Right.
You could just ignore it.
I read if it's somebody or on a topic that I think is, you know, well researched, I will definitely read, you know, mm-hmm. and listen to stuff, but there's just so much of it where there's not even a good faith attempt to make the type of, to create the type of coverage that I personally enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a large sense, I unplug completely from it, but there are a few people that I do keep tabs on. Like I'll read Zach Lowe's stuff to stay up with general NBA type of stuff. But yeah, in general, man, you know me, I'm on my own, in my own little world.
Locked on NBA, you know, general NBA stuff.
I mean, he listens to every day except Friday.
What's that?
He listens to every day of Locked on NBA except Friday. You know, Harrison, he starts his weekends early.
This is a question I specifically asked for you because we were going to record about an hour ago, and that was delayed because Avery is on one today. And I was kind of curious, if I would have told you back when we started this podcast that both you and I would be making a living doing this, would that be less or more likely that I would be entrusted with the life of another human being?
Oh, definitely the former, because like, I mean, by the time that we started doing the podcast, like I was getting a little money and I was delusional enough to be like, oh, like, I don't know, I was probably making like $250 a month at that point or something like that, like nothing. I was delusional enough, like living with my parents. I'm like, oh, I can make this work. Like, I'm gonna like, you know, it'll slowly build up. And like, I was convinced at that point that I was on track to a career. And I think that delusion is the only thing that allowed me to make it. And I think the same is probably true for you.
Absolutely.
Like we were too dumb to realize like how little we were making and that didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And so I definitely would have bet on that before Jen, like entrusting you, like, especially not even just that, like you had a child, because like, obviously you were married. I understood that was on the table, but just the fact that Jen would entrust you to stay at home with the child and take care of it.
Is he really entrusted though? Is that, I mean, we're making assumptions here. Sometimes you have to make decisions in life, and
I mean,
Dr. Jen,
he has the nanny cam pulled up on his phone. What's gonna go wrong?
Oh yeah, like, what could possibly happen? Right.
I mean, I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying entrusted is a strong word.
Yeah, I would say like nervously allowed to.
There you go. I like that you're honest.
Dubiously honest. Yeah. Okay with. Yeah. With cautious, much like us, Jen is cautiously optimistic that she'll come home and Avery will still be there. Just like for us, we were cautiously optimistic that the Lakers would win a championship this year.
That's right.
Same amount of likelihood, according to Chris Mannix.
is
and what we're and 538's projections.
He's so mad. It's
all the way up to the whistle before LeBron James gets subbed out. 538 is still trying to find ways.
They're like, Heat still have a 72% chance to win this series.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, you know, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, you know, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. And save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code locked on for $10 off at builtbar.com.
What possibly happened? Right.
I mean, I think that's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying entrusted is a strong word.
Yeah, I would say like nervously allowed to.
There you go. That's see, I like that you're honest.
Dubiously honest. Yeah. Okay with. Yeah. With cautious, much like us. Jen is cautiously optimistic that she'll come home and Avery will still be there. Just like for us, we were cautiously optimistic that the Lakers would win a championship this year.
That's right.
Same amount of likelihood, according to Chris Mannix, is
and 538's projections.
He's so mad. It's
all the way up to the whistle before LeBron James gets subbed out. 538 is still trying to find ways.
They're like, Heat still have a 72% chance to win this series.
LeBron's already icing his knees. Celebrate bouncing around with Anthony Davis.
Yo, this is the best like Schadenfreude title.
Oh yeah,
this is the 10th title I've been alive for, and like 2000 felt really good because the Lakers had choked a couple of times and played like just been wiped out in four or five games like each of the last 3 years. So it felt good to finally get over the hill. But this one is very satisfying from a like, yeah, suck on that, you know, like.
Because it wasn't even just like, because those 2000 title, like I think the 2000 run, they were pushed. The 2001 run, they weren't really. So they were like favorites the whole way, I think. Mm-hmm. And especially once the playoffs started. 2002 was like a foregone conclusion.
Right.
Like,
well, that's the thing is after you win the first title, you're the favorite or you're very near the top. You're not like, no one's going to be talking as dumb as they were prior to this season and about like, the Lakers going forward.
Even 2009 and 2010, like honestly, 2011, they were like the assumed champions going into it for the most part. And so obviously 2011, they did not get that done. They lost in the second round. Like, yeah, this is the one that I'm with you. I mean, you've watched like going back like, a few decades extra than I have. But like this one is the most that I remember the Lakers being picked against like every single round. I think like the Heat, by the time the finals came around, was finally the least I think I saw people picking against them. And like, it was incredible how many people picked against them in the first round. And so like, it wasn't even just that, you know, it wasn't Schadenfreude from like them winning and like these close series, like they destroyed these other teams that were supposed to really threaten them. And I think that's what honestly made it the most special was it was not just like these were close games or close series or whatever. Like they just completely curb stomped like every single team that they played en route to the finals.
Well, and it wasn't just that they beat them in a shorter series, right? It wasn't just that it was 5-5, 5-6. It was that when the Lakers felt like it, when they really engaged, they were so thoroughly overwhelming. And
the same was true with the finals too. Even though it went six, that series was not particularly close.
Right. Well, and I think you could say that really the entire regular season, because they had runs against Milwaukee. They had runs against the Clippers where they were just so thoroughly overwhelming in ways that there's no, like, they redid the math. Like, that's the thing that I've marveled at the most, is that we had thought, because of the Warriors, that the math of the NBA was forever changed. And there is some uniqueness here going on with the Lakers, but the math isn't forever changed. The math is actually a return to what we thought the math was all along. Hey, you have bigger athletic guys than we do, and they're skilled too? Yep. All right, well.
That's the part that gets added to it, right? Like we always said, there's no benefit to going small. It's just that you find more skill in smaller guys. But if your big guys have Anthony Davis type skill, LeBron James type of skill, that's just, it completely changes the equation.
Yeah, that was something that I was talking about with Kevin O'Connor and a couple other people on Twitter the other day. Like, we almost need to, like, this isn't going to happen right away, but we almost need to stop using the term small ball in general. And probably, and I've heard you talk about this before too, Pete, but like, especially with this team, like a lineup with LeBron, with Anthony Davis and LeBron as the 5 and 4 is not small. Like a lineup with, you know, the guys that they were playing at like 2, 3, and 1 was not small. Like every single guy had size for their position. And you talked about this all season, especially on Laker Film Room, the bigger, stronger, faster Lakers. Like, and Anthony, when you say that this team changed the math of the game, like Lakers PR dug up this stat: LeBron and AD were the first pair of teammates in NBA history to average 25 while shooting 50% or better from the field for an entire postseason ever. And were only the fourth to ever do it in the finals, which is just like that's changing the math of the game. Is efficient.
Mm-hmm. They weren't just at 50% too. We're talking 56 and 57%.
Yeah, they were almost 60%.
Yeah.
Right.
Over the last two games, I think LeBron shot 28 of 41.
Yeah, he was. And that's the thing. We saw, I think in game six, we saw LeBron's best. And in game five as well, right? We saw him kind of turn into that guy. But he didn't have to go there very often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we didn't, you know, again, that final series went six. But as soon as we were like, okay, it's time to end this. Mm-hmm. It was over. And
how many games would you say in the finals that the Lakers put full effort forward? Like 2, 3 of them?
Game one,
game four, and game six would be it for me.
Mm-hmm. And game four even is a little on the dubious side.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, I want to return back to the math aspect of this thing, because like, I don't think the Lakers changing this math occurs without the evolution brought around by the Warriors, right? Like we'd seen teams, the Lakers, for example, when they made their famous run against the Portland Trailblazers, it was a Shaq in, four shooters out thing that Phil kind of went to almost out of desperation. It wasn't like he said to himself, we need more spacing for Shaq. That wasn't the thought process there. And we'd seen other teams, like the Phoenix Suns came along, and it was thinking that the thought there was, well, they're super fast and they can play 7 seconds or less and they can overwhelm you with speed. And, you know, the Dallas Mavericks came along and just completely blew the Lakers out of the water with the way that they shot in that series. So I think like we started to see that evolution. And then I think
Jackson still has Peja Stojakovic flashbacks from that series. Like,
oh my God, it was brutal. Like it was so tough to watch, because every time he turned around, they had a wide open 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Everybody was making everything. And on top of that, anytime you breathed on Dirk, it was a foul. But but then on, you know, so you see the Warriors as the kind of Charizard version of that, right? The ultimate evolution of that style of play, that math brought about to it. And that forces every team in the NBA to now start thinking about spacing and thinking about the importance of opening up the key. And eventually LeBron saw that too. So the Lakers, you know, while you do have LeBron and AD who are two very unique talents in the history of the NBA, you do have them benefiting from that modern spacing where, you know, the best runs that the Lakers went on was when there were three other shooters out there, or at least two shooters and one, you know, willing guy. So that, you know, if that fifth guy was Alex Caruso, just in terms of guy you'd most wanted or least hit, least be comfortable with taking that open three-pointer. If he was that fifth guy, well, that's still enough spacing. And then obviously what Caruso adds on the defensive end. So I just find it like one of my favorite aspects of the NBA, and this is true of all of sports, but the NBA lately, you've been able to see these evolutions happen in real time. And I'm kind of curious what the evolution looks like across the entire league next year in a shortened offseason.
Well, so I think that this run almost shows the weaknesses of trying to build another team with your guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like after every single title, we hear about like, okay, other teams need to build X, Y, and Z to match up with this team. Like other teams need to do this so they can match. Like we didn't really hear it about the Raptors, like, but it was like the Warriors when they were winning, it was like, okay, how do teams build to have this much shooting on the floor and all that stuff? And I think on some level, like it almost broke the way that NBA teams are constructed, because all these other teams are trying to construct a poor man's version of the Warriors, like this switchy team that can shoot across all five positions and go small really easily. And I think that what this Lakers team shows the benefit of is having a vision of not just like, okay, how do we copy what that team did? It's knowing your personnel and trying to build the roster that best amplifies them. This is the most versatile Lakers team I think we've ever seen in terms of being able to go big, go small. Like they would take what other teams did and do it better than them because they have LeBron and AD. And I think that also like what we're going to see a little bit too in the aftermath of this is there are going to be teams that try to build what the Lakers just did and try to do what the Lakers just did. Mm-hmm. And like, good luck if you don't have LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think it just shows the benefits of having the vision of building the best possible team for your personnel versus trying to copycat everything, because the Lakers, they got a bunch of big guys that could take advantage of the way that everyone else was building.
Yeah. I think it was on the podcast with Silver Screen, where building your identity, you know, forces other teams to deal with your identity. But we, as we saw over different stretches of like the three-peat Lakers, the Blazers' entire identity was beating the Lakers. And then they fell short because you can't build yourself to specifically beat one team. And I thought, you know, the Rockets is another example of...
The Rockets tried to build a better version of Golden State, basically. Right. Like take it to the next extreme.
This was the first time that they kind of sort of created their own identity with this micro ball and really tried to push the evolution of the sport. But when you're still kind of focused on what's going on over there, you miss what's right in front of you. So they're focused on, you know, beating a team that's standing over there. The Lakers are standing right there with one of the biggest front courts, frankly, that this league has ever seen, right? Especially when... Now, Dwight wasn't really able to play in that series, and JaVale wasn't really able to play, but it's still Anthony Davis is a legit 7-footer, and LeBron James is 6'9". What's he listed at? 6'8", 270 or something stupid. You know, it's still a giant team that they were going to have to beat, but they were so focused on outsmalling everybody because what they saw with the relatively small Warriors death lineup that, no, actually, we can't. You can't ignore all of the history of the NBA. I want to quickly just kind of segue over to this layer, or return back to this Lakers team specifically, because, like, before we move on to what it might look like next season and what this, if this is capable of being a dynasty, which I think the three of us all kind of agree that it can. Pete, I'm curious. In terms of just most fun you've had watching a team, and this counts all of, like, this isn't just the championship teams, because I had a lot of fun watching the late 90s teams, even though they weren't going to win a championship. I really enjoyed, I mean, that was a team that I kind of grew up on. I can't identify a team I enjoyed watching more than this one. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves or say things like, I lost my mojo, or avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today and connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA.
Yeah, this is the most fun season for me as well, and I don't think that's recency bias either. Part of it is I understand basketball a lot better than I did, even in our last championship, right? There's when you spend, you know, hours and hours every day doing something, you're going to get better at it. You're going to understand it better. And basketball is one of the things that's great about it is the more you learn about it, the more enjoyment you get out of it. It's just so complex. I talk about this all the time. It's so complex that the more of it that you understand, the more of it that you can appreciate and go like, oh, that's really cool. Right. And that's basically, you know, on a very basic level, that's our relationship with sports, right? Is watching other people do something that makes us go awesome. You know, like it gives us a little bit of joy ideally or pain. Right. In most instances, we're lucky. We're the only team that ended this season on a happy note. And so just from knowing more about the game, I enjoy this team more, but
I'd maybe argue the Clippers ended on a happy note because they were so happy to not see each other anymore.
I think Clippers fans by the end of that series were glad to not have to watch that team anymore.
It was funny because that whole dynamic, because they were like, all right, we're this record, we're 6-0 with our full team. I'm like, why are you 6-0? Like, we're like 60 games in the season, but okay. We're 6-0 with our team and we're going to put it together for the playoffs. And I just saw, because imagine being in their shoes, right? Like being a Clipper fan all this time. And then finally you think, and the media finally thinks something very highly of you, and you're like, this is our year, you know? And God, what a crushing season this was for them. And then by the end of it, you're like, man, fuck this. Like just the collective man, fuck this from all the Clipper fans was just, like I said on Twitter earlier, nature is healing. We're back to the way
the Clippers were the virus.
Wow. I did not say that, but
the Clippers billboards.
I had some friends, I'm in a group text for a fantasy football league that I'm in, and they were like, oh my God, can you believe the Lakers fans were out there writing? I was like, that wasn't Lakers fans. That was Kawhi Leonard out there ripping down all the Paul George billboards. Like, come on. Anywho, but yeah, like the notion of funness is obviously subjective. It's what is fun to me is not fun to somebody else, even if they are also a Lakers fan. But this idea of funness, like the way that I'm seeing everybody look back on this team, everybody on the internet, and this is a day and age where we can't agree on anything. But Lakers fans, at least, are looking back on the season and they're saying, holy crap. Like, there was part of me that was, like, sad it was over.
Absolutely.
Today, really, I've been sitting here and I'm like, man, that chapter is now written. And I don't really, I'm not really sure I want to move on from it.
So that is what I was saying when you thought I was angering the basketball gods and all of that. This we were in the middle of something special. And how often do we realize at the time, because this team doesn't have the 20 years of being immortalized the way that the Shaq Kobe teams do. The way we're going to talk about this team in 2040, are you kidding me? And hopefully it's the team that started it all, that started the next dynasty, right? That started this run of this many titles in this many years. There was a special team, the way that the two stars got along and the way that people worked together and really took joy in the collaboration and the whole Lakers family ethos really permeating every level to the point where you see it on the floor. You see the way they look at each other, the way they hug each other, the way Frank Vogel and Phil Handy shake hands at the end of it, you know, like the type of respect that can only be earned through hard work over the course of a period of time and then accomplishing a shared goal.
And you know, going just through as much adversity as this team went through as well. Like the moment that you shared, like you talked about the Phil Handy Frank moment, the moment that you shared that really gave me goosebumps was like, it was watching Frank and Rob walk off the floor together in that video that you tweeted, just laughing and smiling and like almost in disbelief at like what they had been able to, like that they did it, like it was over. They actually did it. And you could see like, I mean, even outside of like everything that humanity has gone through this year, like the things that just the Lakers have gone through, like we don't need to tread over that ground fully, but just from where those two started, like, you know, with all the doubt, Frank's intro press conference, he had to come back and talk to the media again, because every single question that they got at the podium was about like his hiring process and why didn't you get Ty Lue? Like, and so to go from that to like NBA champions, just the relief and like everything that this team went through, aside from even that over the last year, it's incredible.
You covered so much distance this season, man.
Yeah.
It's like the Frank Pelinka aspect of this, I think is super cool. And I think worth digging more into, because Frank, as we know, is reported that he wasn't the Lakers, not just, you know, at least Pelinka was the Lakers' choice all along, right? Like, yes. Jeannie Buss has said now multiple times that she knew that she, you know, she was sticking her neck out there for him, but he was the guy.
I mean, his original hiring leaked the day that like Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak were let go. Like it was like within an hour, if I remember correctly. Like, they're looking hard at Rob Pelinka, and like it was pretty much like almost no other names even came out.
Right, and even after Magic, you know, steps away.
Yeah.
You know, yes, Rob wasn't most Lakers fans' first choice. He wasn't my first choice. Like they were. You know, I had some people telling me that Bob Myers might be potentially interested. There was less, I think it was more wishful thinking on my part that Masai Ujiri was interested than anything. But Myers, I remember being told, like, yeah, if offered the job, he would take it. It would just be a matter of making all of that work. But so anyway, the reason I'm saying all of this is because, you know, Pelinka knows he wasn't the top choice for Lakers fans. Frank Vogel knows he wasn't the top choice for even the Lakers, let alone Lakers fans. And yeah, seeing them walk off the court like that and say, like, I mean, as much as they probably like Lakers fans right now, and as much as they are really happy about how proud they have made this Lakers fan base, I'm sure part of them is like, ha. You know,
well, it's not even just Lakers fans. It's the media. It's everything. Everybody. And like, I think that the reason that I brought that up while Pete was talking about that's where you see that family and culture and togetherness is like this whole team went through doubt and all this stuff and just stuck together, looked inward, stayed with each other. And I think that's where you see that brotherhood on the floor. You see it permeating throughout the organization. And so like, that's, I think, what you were mostly trying to get at is like that incredible level of togetherness from the very top of the organization down to like Quinn Cook, who like didn't even play during the finals or like barely played during the finals. Like you see it all, like everyone was bought into each other.
There's a great deal of having to block out the noise that comes with being with the Lakers. And this was a team that did that as well as any Lakers team that I've seen, right? Where I talked a lot about the Jeannie's tweet about Phil telling her, you know, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water, after enlightenment, chop wood, carry water, which is focus on the task at hand, focus on the work that you have to do, on the details of that. And it's very easy, very, very easy for your mind to wander, whether it's to what is the result going to be, to the championship, getting the Larry O'Brien trophy, and you lose a game five that you shouldn't lose in ways that you shouldn't have lost, right? It's very easy for your attention to drift and all of that. I see you smirking at me. What do you want?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, Pete, how have you dealt with the noise of becoming a Laker? Because you said when you become a Laker, there's a lot of noise and stuff. That were there people that doubted
I
your
saw
hire?
That
were
glint, they like, were, I saw that glint in your eyes.
Yeah. Were there people tweeting? They're like, oh, no, they should have hired Kevin O'Connor. Like, he would have made better Laker videos. Or
the noise
like,
comes from his co-host on Locked On Lakers.
Yeah. Were there doubters when you were hired, like of the Pete Zayas era?
Do you feel better? You got that out?
I needed to get it out of my system. I'm just wondering, like, because no, because you're speaking as an NBA champion now, like, who dealt with.
Are you gonna get a ring?
Doubters on the run.
I've been asked this a bunch. Like, are you gonna get a ring, Pete?
I don't know. I mean,
Pete,
obviously,
I know that this is gonna annoy you, but I've said this on Twitter a couple times. I'm gonna say it to your face now. There will be a day during the offseason where if we find out that you're not getting a ring, that I will start a change.org petition to get you a ring. And like, I know it's gonna piss you off, but I'm gonna do it. Because that's what friends do to each other is they start change.org petitions to get the person in trouble at their job. So,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Pete's going to get like Pete's going to get a Kobe LeBron goat at Lakers.com email that's his Lakers.com email. And he's going to get you're going to get an email. They're going to be like, Pete, did you start this petition?
I'm just saying, you know, you do what you gotta do. Just remember, we've been in a bit of a cold war for a while. You know, there's been a ceasefire. So if you want to fire the first one, all right, just know what you're doing when you do that.
Just gonna sit back.
I'm just being a friend and trying to get you a ring, my friend.
I appreciate that, Harrison. Thank you.
I've never heard friend sound so threatening.
Yeah. It's like that one video, like, I hope you have a fantastic week, and it's like very hostile.
You smell great, Pete.
Yeah. But the noise thing, so I was thinking about that actually while you were talking, Pete. I have always been kind of annoyed at the way that the Lakers kind of handle the PR aspect of things, where I'm of the mind where you either tell your story, or you allow other people to tell
it. Oh, this is leading to a question to Pete. You think he's
going
to be able to answer
this? I'm building up on his point. And like one of the things that it was leaked that an executive said was, we let other organizations talk. We let other, you know.
Yeah, we don't. It's quicksand, man. It's not a game worth playing. That's something that I've learned is like, it's not there's not much we can do about it. And so our job is to focus on what we do, right? Because
and
we know
Jeannie
that's
going
that to be a
Howard Beck's podcast really well too. I think like she just said, like we, like if you focus, like she heard from people that she trusts and like it's come out that like Phil has talked to her about this. And you know, that like goes back to what you were talking about, Pete, like if you try to win the press conference, basically her words were, if you try to win the press conference, like that's not how you win. You actually have
that's
to win
right.
on the court, which is, I mean, that's easy to say, but the Lakers actually did that, I think.
Right, being able to focus on that when there is more noise with us than there is with anybody else. Jeannie's establishment of the mentalities and philosophies of the Lakers, I have such a deeper appreciation for that now, of how influential she is on how we go about our business. And it's like, look, we talk a lot with her about this is a family and she helps cultivate that and all of that's true. But beyond that, she's got vision and she understands how to execute her vision and how to have her vision permeate an organization. Yeah. And that's just something that right there, what you're talking about, like not worrying about winning the press conference is something that's very much emphasized, right? And we understand that noise is going to be there. It is part of the Lakers, right? It's part of that experience. And so if that's going to be there, how do you react to it? And it's pointless, it's useless to fight against it. What do you want? Why are you looking at me like that?
No. I'm just smiling listening to you.
It's his dirty ass mustache. It just always looks like he's in some kind of weird grin.
No, I'm just
and the fedora, it's just weird, man. It's
you
need to be wearing like
a
trench coat with a bunch of watches on the inside lapel.
Yeah.
Like
he looks like he's wearing a trench coat with nothing at all underneath.
I didn't come here on a work day and take it like 2 hours now out because you had to feed your infant daughter to get attacked like this. If Petty Pete,
I think you did
over,
because you suck at negotiating. Apparently,
look. If Petty Pete can take over for a second,
I know you're really trying to get into Petty Pete. Go ahead.
What you were trying to say The exact quote from that anonymous executive was, it was something along the lines of, while our rivals spent millions trying to win the news cycle, we just focused on winning on the court. And, you know, with that, a lot of people took that as a reference to, like, they were like, oh, the Lakers tried to sign Kawhi too. Like, what is this person even talking about? LOL. And it's like, that wasn't about trying to sign Kawhi. They didn't spend millions trying to sign Kawhi. They spent millions on Kawhi, but that's not, like, that's not what that is about. That is about the billboards all across the city of Los Angeles. That is a larger commentary on the Clippers trying to constantly win the narrative through selective leaks in exchange for favorable coverage. That is a that is about the Clippers sending jerseys to credentialed media members to make them feel like they're a part of this family.
That is unbelievable.
Like, it's a commentary on the Clippers constantly trying to win, like, a media cold war versus the Lakers versus actually, like, winning on the court. Like, the constant talk about, like, oh, Lawrence Frank, like, another smart move going out there and really going all in and giving up more draft picks for Marcus Morris and Paul George than the Lakers gave up for AD, who they gave up too much for. And, like, you know, it's just, it shows in the analysis, it shows in who you hear more leaks about, like where you think that sourcing is coming from, and then how it translates into, like, oh, the Clippers are just so smart and they're willing to spend all this money to go and, like, build their own arena and do all these things to establish themselves as a real organization and a real destination. And, like, yeah, I mean, they spent millions on all of this stuff, but again, like, the only thing that mattered in the end was that the Lakers won on the court. Like, they went and took care of business and they chopped wood and they carried water.
Yeah,
that's right. If you're trying to win the narrative, maybe you win it for a little while, but if you don't handle business on the court, what does the narrative look like when you lose in the second round and then the team that you've been subtweeting basically all season wins the title?
Wins the championship.
Right. What does the narrative look like now? You didn't even accomplish the thing that
I'm
you wanted to
side eye to the people who carried that narrative.
There was one team on top of that,
a lot of people looking funny in the light, my man.
I find myself looking over at a lot of the people who were just so willingly asking, how will LeBron James and Anthony Davis actually fit when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George literally play the same position?
How will one of the greatest passers of all time fit with one of the best finishers of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go back and I've enjoyed just kind of privately saying a lot of this stuff to Jan or in DMs and stuff like that with Harrison and then when you and I aren't recording, Pete, but the way that this Lakers team was talked about, and I know those, you know, if there are non-Lakers fans listening to this, but this feels like one of the most disrespected great times of our lifetime. Like
great teams of our lifetime, right?
Yeah. No, the most disrespected great teams of our lifetime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, you said times.
You said times. That's why I was just clarifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I swear to God, I'm drinking water right now. But I wonder if we're ever really going to see, and this is to your point, Pete, about this narrative, the problem with trying to fit a narrative or trying to build your narrative, especially when you're the Lakers, is there's so much baggage that people are going to be bringing into that narrative, right? So even if I think this team is one of the most overwhelming teams I've ever seen, rather than give them credit for that, you're hearing a lot of, well, the Warriors weren't the Warriors and Kevin Durant wasn't in the league this year. And well, you know, they didn't go through even a number two seed to win a championship. And so what does that actually mean in terms of this and that? And
I wonder why that is, that they didn't have to go through a number two seed.
Yeah. What happened? What happened that facilitated that?
I think cowardice is what happened is what I'm seeing. That's what I'm going to keep coming back to. But that, like, it's just this idea that a team would go 5-5-5 and then 6, but mostly out of boredom that they went 6.5.
Here.
Yeah. And the conversation isn't about how historic a run that is, especially when in a lot of those 5-game series, the way that the Lakers looked, as we talked about earlier in the show, was just world beaters, right? Just absolutely and astonishingly overwhelming. And yet I think it took, what's the, I think get up, I think is ESPN's early. I was up really early the other day because
their
of
morning
Avery.
Show, yeah.
And it took them three segments to talk about LeBron James winning his fourth championship.
Was the segment? Is he now better than MJ? Let's talk about it.
And even there, that's what I was going to say. Like the conversation let's give this team its flowers. It was, what does this mean for the MJ LeBron debate? And I'm just, and this comes back to like one of the themes that I've really tried to focus on both in this show and in my analysis and just privately, just being able to enjoy this. Why can't we just enjoy things? Why do we have to why it immediately becomes a comparison? It immediately becomes, you have to list the all time, this and that and the others. But with this team, it's such a great team. And at no point have they received their flowers. At no point whatsoever. We're supposed to be happy with the rings. Like the rings are the flowers. Even though that's something that every team objectively gets at the end of these things, every team that wins the championships. No point here. I think Tom Zeller wrote a good article about how overwhelming the Lakers were. Beyond that, mm-hmm. I haven't seen shit about it.
Yeah, there's been very little, and there's not going to be much, right? Big part of it, too, is that
it's all going to be about asterisks.
Right. The league is so...
Kiss my asterisk.
The way the league is... The way the league is covered needs to fundamentally change. It's so heavily about narrative and so far away from the actual sport, save a few people that are really, you know, really trying to change that. And the narratives are also very lazy. And they're even more importantly, because like there's nothing wrong with narrative coverage of a team.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've but it's been not recording the show with me now for a year at least.
Right. No, I'm not saying everything has to be X's and O's analysis. Not all my analysis is X and O's. X's and O's, but there's not a good faith effort to actually cover the basketball team, right? Or the stories of, it's not based out of a love for the sport, right?
Yeah, it's
everything
like soap
is done.
Opera.
It's worship. That's it. That's exactly it. It's worshipped. It worships at the altar of engagement. So clicks, downloads, everything is done for. And so what's going to get people most engaged? Let's piss them off. Or let's get them arguing, right? Because argument is engagement. That's really what it comes down to. And it's so manipulative that I can't stand it, right? If we're going to be talking stories, and not all of it has to be fluffy, you know, aren't the Lakers great all the time? But that's not what I'm saying. But an actual engagement in things that are actually happening on the court. It blows my mind when I would go to games and I'd be looking around and like half the people aren't even watching the game that are credentialed to cover the game, right? They're in WordPress, they're on their phone, and it's because it's not about actually covering basketball. Yeah. And that's something
it's
that I want to see
the
NBA
to get out of the way so you could return to the soap opera.
You could return to the soap opera. And that's something from the NBA's perspective. I hope there's a real push to change how the league is covered, just from can we exalt the basketball? And what's happening on the court and what's happening, even the storylines, but the ones that come from actually paying attention to the season and to the basketball, from caring about the basketball and even the negative ones, that's fine. But it doesn't come from a place of actually caring about the sport. It's grifting, man. It's manipulative. It's about getting people to argue with you to hear the outrageous thing that you're going to say next, just so that you keep the ratings up for the advertiser. It's all done for the advertisers, and there's so little actual sports coverage incorporated in that it really needs to change. We talk about the NBA ratings being down. That's a big part of it, man. Like, have it covered by people that like the sport.